shows lean left, some lean right, but we lean local and business. This is North Georgia Business Radio X with Phil Bonelli. For the next hour, we will celebrate the businesses in our area and the people that run them. Find us on Facebook at North Georgia Business Radio X and online at NorthGeorgiaBusinessRadioX.com. Now, here's Phil Bonelli.
When you have a business, you really want to be intentional about building the business you want. Today, we're going to talk about, we're going to speak with a great guest who's building a business that's all about building buildings. So, Greg, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Greg Venable, longtime friend of mine, founder of Draw Studios, a design build architectural firm. We're going to talk about lessons about building business and what they do right now. So, Greg, go ahead and tell us what Draw Studios does. Who's Draw Studios?
Yeah. So, I guess one quick clarification. A design build firm.
Yes.
That's someone that designs it, then builds it.
Right.
That's a lot of liability. Currently, we're just designing.
Just design.
I might hop into the build portion, but anyway. Draw Studio is draw with two A's, so it is unique, and it's an acronym. So design, reimagine, adapt. That, frankly, that's what all architects do anyway, whether you're us or not. But the last part is architects workshop, and I think that's what separates us. And when you think about a workshop, it's someone or a team of folks that get together and really work through ideas. And I don't think you're ever going to have a project, architecture or otherwise, that you don't work, or that the right answer shouldn't be to workshop those ideas. So anyway, yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. Workshop the ideas. So that's a differentiator for you. Mm-hmm. Break down what that means again. So is that kind of like a methodology of overcoming obstacles and coming up with your solutions?
Correct. So basically, anytime you have a project, especially in architecture or just design, you're never going to nail it on the first try.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes a client will ask for something and you'll draw it and they'll be like, that's not what I thought. And so you go back and you redo it and you have this back and forth. And frankly, that's what a workshop is you take the time to throw a few ideas out there. A lot of times what we'll do is we'll take what a client has asked for and draw it. And we know, having done this work for so long, that a lot of times the client's ideas may not be perfect. And so the workshop portion comes in where they give us their ideas, we draw it, and then we say, all right, hey, in our experience, what you asked for, here it is. But if we could use our expertise, this is what it might look like. So the workshop thing is that we work together and we throw a lot of ideas into it. And technically speaking, a workshop is just working through ideas.
I love that. So what I'm hearing you say is that the focus is on collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
It's very collaborative and it's about communication because your clients, they have ideas and thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they might have some specific ideas, or they might have some very vague ideas.
Correct.
But part of the communication process is that you are taking it from verbal to visual.
Mm-hmm.
So you're taking it and you're talking through the ideas, but then you're going to show them options drawn out because
Correct.
You're an architect. That's
mm-hmm.
what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to go beyond being an order taker and you're going to really consult.
That's correct.
I love that.
That's precise.
In every business and sales, there's a book, Challenger Sales, and it's about these four different general personality types of sales folks. Some is like a people pleaser, order taker, some very gregarious, but the Challenger is by far the highest performing sales personality type, and it is essentially that. It's that collaboration, but also a Challenger sales type and a workshop, you know, architecture workshop is where you're bringing ideas, you're making recommendations. You're not just saying, oh, whatever you want, we'll do it. You're open to doing that if you're just, you know, dead set on that. But we want to push back. They say, hey, we want it to be like this.
Mm-hmm.
You're an expert. Mm-hmm. That's why they're coming to you. That's why you get paid the big bucks.
That's right.
But for the record audience, a very value-driven, whatever the bucks are, worth it. Okay, if you need an architect, draw studios.
Big time. Well, and actually, just to add to everything that you just said, I have a client right now, and I think to your point, sometimes a client doesn't know exactly what they're asking for. And a lot of times, a client, or really anybody, will have blinders on when they're thinking about their ideas.
Right.
And so we have a client right now where they are working through their kitchen redesign. And in my opinion, their blinders were on because their gigantic, new, beautiful kitchen had a half bath that opened immediately onto it. And if you think about what happens inside of a bathroom, it's not exactly conducive for kitchens. Mm. And so in our opinion, they were just... All she was thinking about and all the clients were thinking about were, I want this big kitchen and I want this over here and this over there. But it, just to your point, what our duty is, and I get this response from clients all the time, I'll give them exactly what they want. And they say, well, that's not what I thought. You're the architect. You tell me. So anyway, just to your point, you should not exactly... or forcefully challenge what they're asking for, but you should definitely provide alternatives or 100%. Ideas. Like, hey, you asked for this. Here's what it looks like. If I could tweak it a smidge, I might put a wall here. I might push the kitchen over this direction, whatever. And I think, in my opinion, a client will feel more heard at that moment than yes. if you just did exactly what they asked for.
Yes, mm-hmm. because you're hearing and you're responding to what they said, mm-hmm. but at a more deeper level, you're responding to what, from your conversation with them, mm-hmm. you think they would want.
Correct.
And then what I love about that, what stood through to me, is that, you know, experts help clients see past their blinders,
mm-hmm.
because you're the expert, they're not. You're serving them, you're giving them what will make them happiest, but you are helping... You're at least giving the opportunity to make things better than they imagined.
Correct.
Their imagination is not as broad as your skill set.
That's right. Well, and if you take a project, if you fast forward to the end, what they really want is a kitchen. Let's just stick to the kitchen analogy. If you fast forward to the end, everything's done and the contractor tosses them the keys to their new kitchen, right? At the end of the day, what they want is a kitchen that operates properly and that doesn't have any glaring or large defects in it. So at what, just to your point, what they want is a well running or a good run kitchen. What they don't want is for you to draft up exactly what they're asking for, because at that point you're just a drafter and they might as well had just done everything themselves or sketched it on the back of a napkin for a GC to execute.
Mm. Let's talk about that for a second. So a drafter, somebody who's mm-hmm. drafting drawings. So there's a difference between a drafter
mm-hmm.
and an architect.
That's right.
Tell us the difference.
That's right. And this is no, this is not to run down the drafters because those folks are very valuable, but oftentimes, in a client's mind, what they think the difference between a drafter and an architect is, and in my opinion, I think that's pretty close, is a drafter will do exactly what they ask for with no comments, no workshop. You asked for this, here it is. Whereas an architect, generally speaking, will take the ideas from a client and mold them according to code, according to usability, you know, just how to make the most of that space. If you think about it in a more technical term, a drafter essentially takes the design that we've, let's pretend you and I were working together. You and I have gone through the workshop. We've gone through the effort. We've come up with a design. From that point to construction documents is just drafting. It's just, now we know how the kitchen is going to look. We know how it's going to operate. The design is done. Now it's time to draft.
Gotcha.
So anybody that is specifically a drafter, they are now moving past the design phase.
All right. And we're going to dive into the value add architecture phase after this break on North Georgia Business Radio X.
Thank you.
In your business, are you giving your clients exactly what they asked for? Or do you have opportunity with your expertise to give them something better than they ever could have imagined? Welcome back to North Georgia Business Radio X. I am your host, Phil Benelli, here today with the one, the only, Greg Venable of Draw Studios, an architectural design firm.
There it is.
Located in Gainesville, Georgia. My favorite architecture firm.
Oh.
Yeah.
Here we go.
That I know.
Yeah.
And I know some good ones. Some other ones.
There are.
Some great ones.
There are some good ones here.
They haven't been on the show, though.
No.
So if you haven't been on the show, you know, sorry. But Greg is amazing. He's awesome. And I want to go back, Greg, to something we were talking about, which really stood out to me. There are drafters. They're important. They play an important role. They take ideas.
Necessary role.
Put them on a paper. Thank you, drafters.
Correct.
That's great.
That's right.
We need drafters. But an architect is somebody who takes ideas and then uses his or her expertise to add to or take from, modify those ideas, or at least present opportunities to modify from those ideas to make things better. I have had that so many times. I get very passionate about the projects I'm working on, Greg, and I just share those with people that I care about, talk about those ideas, and I can't tell you how many times I've been so richly blessed by there was some path I was on. For like months, I was like, this is what we're going to do. And I talk to somebody, and they have expertise I don't have. And they're like, you know, maybe you should do it that way.
Right.
Wow. A million times better
100%.
Than what I was thinking for months.
That's right.
It's amazing. And so what a great thing to do. And that's what you all do as architects is you, and Greg was sharing the story in the first segment of a great client wanted to redo their kitchen. We did the same thing with our kitchen. Our kitchen had a specific footprint. We redid it. We used some interior designer.
Yeah.
Draw Studios. I don't know if Draw Studios was there yet.
Yeah.
You know? Or I would have. But she did a great job. And we totally changed the footprint. So at first we thought, we're going to paint our cabinets. But then we ended up with a way more functional kitchen, as well as new cabinets.
That's right.
That's why I had to get a second job. And
that's why we're on the radio.
But it's way better. That's why we're on the radio. Yeah, if anyone wants to sponsor the show, just give me a holler. But that's such a wonderful thing, and it's so fulfilling. How did you, at what point, so you went to school to be an architect, which I imagine involves drafting.
Correct.
Do you begin as a drafter? Or did you start out as an architect? I'm trying to think through.
Yeah.
You know, we're not born with the expertise
to do this. Yeah.
How did you get to this point where you felt like you had the knowledge and expertise and confidence to add that extra value?
Well, and I would even add to it, there's a lot of folks out there that say they knew they wanted to be an architect or a designer or whatever.
George Costanza.
Right.
He always wanted to be an architect.
Yeah, from like a super young age. And I think what architects do best is exactly what you just said. The responsibility is to take the ideas from the client, help them remove the blinders, make it as best you can exactly what they're asking for. It's got to meet code. It has to. There are some parameters you have to work around, and then present it to them. That is essentially what they're asking for. But you're asking about when you're in architecture school, where do you start, right?
So, and in career, because after school,
yep.
You're still not ready just because you went through school.
Far from ready, I would even argue. So when you're in college, let's just run with the architect route. When you're in college studying to be an architect, you should learn how to draw. You should learn how to draft because that is your medium on presenting to the client. That's the best way that you present it to them. Today, you can use software, so that's how you learn to draft, is through software, through the computers, which is fine. So you do need to be able to pull the ideas from them and then make it look good. So that is probably the role of a drafter. The architect, their role, or the designer, is to ask the right questions, help the client remove the blinders, and add in as much value to the ideas that they're asking for as best you can.
I love it. I love it. if you are out there, whatever business you're in, think through, how can I really go from being an order taker to a value adder, to a challenger? And it's so fun to do that. And sometimes it's hard. I mean, in business, we have to make sales. We have to keep clients happy, and we want to keep clients happy. We have bills to pay. But to some folks, this will make sense. To some, it'll seem counterintuitive. The more that you can challenge and add to, the more that you're going to be able to support yourself, because you're adding so much more. So how can you do that in your business? Sometimes you, if you make a product, people might order a specific product or want a specific way. How can you look for opportunities to say, hey, this might be better this way, with this material, with this, with that? People want the best. And something you said earlier, Greg, really stood out to me, which amounted to, begin with the end in mind. What is the true end result? If it's for a kitchen, they want a functional, beautiful kitchen with no issues.
Correct.
That's the end. There's a lot of different ways to get to that end. Help them get there better than they imagined.
That's right.
And sometimes, look, you're not going to like just come up with new ideas just for the heck of it. If somebody comes to you and their vision is like the very perfect vision, tell perfect. Them that.
No problem.
That's rock what and you roll. Say.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I will say, to add to your to this segment here, there is a difference between renovations and new builds. A new build, you're starting with a blank slate. You really can basically do anything that you want within reason. You still have to meet code, but there are no existing parameters that you have to work around. Like a load-bearing wall is in the way, or now I have to add a column because we really want the load-bearing wall out of the way. Just no problem. It's only money. But anyway, with renovations, those are you really are working with a set of parameters that oftentimes are pretty restricting.
Right.
With a new build, if a client comes to me, this happened the other day, hey, I want a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house. I want it on that lot. There are so few questions. I don't have a lot to work around there. It's a blank piece of land. Let's get started. You can almost get started with just drafting at that point.
Yeah. The renovations, to your point, that's where the rubber meets the road, and that's where the expertise is so needed. As I think about it, I have 3 construction projects going on right now, and all of them are renovations, and I've never done anything that's not a renovation.
Yep.
We're building a poultry processing facility in a wing of one of my barns. There's therefore things we have to work around in that, and where's the water, where's the power, you know, and our farm store.
Access to this place.
Access to it. All the above. So there's a lot of room for creativity, but within boundaries. We're redoing our farm store, which has some big, I mean, it's like a 200-year-old church that's turned into a barn.
Super cool, by the way.
Thank you. But it's fun. It's weird. I love old stuff, and I love making old things new and improved.
Yes.
So I kind of like that even more.
Yes. But the process of solving the puzzle is pretty good. It's pretty fun.
It is fun.
Yeah. Well, because you will find the answer. It's just going to take a workshop, and it's going to take time, and it's going to take some effort. It's going to take sketches, but you will get there. And I think that's the fun part, is finding that solution.
I think you should have named the company Sketchy Designs.
I should have. Frankly, that's what they're getting anyway.
To summarize before our break, a few things. One, think of the concept of workshop. How much can you communicate and collaborate? How can you facilitate that with your client? Make it the easiest to do that. Second, be an expert. Add value beyond just being an order taker. And the third thing I'm going to have to remember over the break, it was really good, but I got so excited over the first two but also begin with the end in mind.
That's it.
We'll have a fourth thing, but always begin with the end in mind. We'll be right back after this break. Going to bring you more Draw Studios here on North Georgia Business Radio X. We'll be right back. How to Build a Building Business. We're back with that, and that's what we're going to talk about. Welcome back to North Georgia Business Radio X. I am your host, Phil Benelli, here with Greg Venable of Draw Studios. Draw, if I may just share that really cool acronym, it's got two A's. Design, reimagine, adapt. These are three core competencies of architects.
Correct.
But then, Architect Workshop, a unique collaborative process. Let me tell you something. Mm-hmm. If you have a project coming up, you're going to build something new, or you're going to renovate an existing structure, look up Greg at Draw. What is your website, Greg?
It's drawstudio.com.
Well,
and
that's
it's
handy.
Being built. Yeah.
It's being built.
Mm-hmm.
What is your email?
Greg, G-R-E-G-G, at drawstudio.com.
All right. Greg with two G's at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Not
draw
the front.
With two A's.
That's draw right. with two A's. Drawstudio.com. Before we dive back into Draw Studios, I would like to share something that we were discussing over the break. And that is all the amazing restaurants in Gainesville, which we thank you very much. And I want to highlight two in particular. First, Caroline's in Flowery Branch. Mm-hmm. Greg has not been there yet.
Nope.
Bill, North Georgia's premier audio engineer. Right there in the booth. He's not been there yet, and I strongly recommended it. My buddies at Caroline's, it's a collaborative effort with the head being Chef Nick of Antebellum.
Mm-hmm.
It is a breakfast, brunch, and lunch spot. Downtown Flowery Branch, beautiful, right there by Antebellum, right there by the farmer's market. It is absolutely amazing. Just delicious, delicious.
If it's anything
food.
Like Antebellum's or Antebellum,
yep.
Incredible.
Yep. You want to go there.
Mm-hmm.
You want to check it out. You can get a Hopewell Farms GA grass-fed burger there. It will be the best burger you've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
I promise you that. So go check it out. They're delightful. I also want to mention that the, you know, Two Dog was a great Gainesville institution.
Incredible.
Delicious food.
Yes.
Great people.
Right.
Did things in a wonderful way. And the folks, and we've mentioned this on the show before, but I just think it's so cool. The folks who... They now own the Collegiate Grill, and then they own Sweet Magnolias.
Sweet Max, dude.
They now own it. And let me tell you something that I just think is so cool. This community has been so welcoming to me. I moved here after college, 22 years old, right when I started working. It's just been so welcoming. And the folks who own Sweet Max, they didn't just move here from Athens, Georgia, like I did. They came here from India. And the community has loved and welcomed them. And this is what I love. And this is such a cool thing about the melting pot we live in. The Collegiate Grill, as was Two Dog, were like Gainesville institutions.
Mm-hmm.
And the folks who own Sweet Magnolias valued that local institution so much. They weren't born here. They weren't even born in this country. And they're like, we are going to carry on this tradition and make it our own and make it awesome. And they've done that. And I'm so thankful they do that. It's just a wonderful thing. And I'm so stoked, Greg, because the only thing this community is missing is Indian restaurant. And on Saturdays and Sundays, you can go to Two Dog and you can order from their Far East menu. They've still got the great Two Dog menu that you know and love.
I love this.
But you can get some chicken tikka, some curry. You can get it up in there on the weekend.
Well,
which is awesome.
I love
thank you, Two Dog.
And I love that they kept the Collegiate Grill as it is, because those burgers are fantastic.
Tough to beat. And
really hard.
The only way you can beat is if you go to Caroline's. I mean, that's the only way to do it that I can imagine. Anyway, I digress, but I just love those local restaurants. And we're talking about that because this show is going to move soon. Exact date yet to be determined, but it's going to be recorded right off the square, which is awesome.
Beautiful.
Because then I'm going to go eat right after.
100%.
So there we go. All right, Greg, Draw Studios, great stuff you're doing. This is your own firm.
Yeah.
You didn't come right out of architecture school and start your own firm.
No way.
You worked for several other firms,
learned
best practices.
Correct.
Started doing things and your extra time.
That's right.
And you built up over time. Walk us through that process, because we may have a lot of listeners kind of contemplating the same thing.
Yeah. So I think one thing you want to, well, first off, I think doing things on the side is extremely important, especially if you want to make more money, because the best way to make more money or to whatever is to add value to someone or add value to a particular area. And doing that on the side, you really learn what the client is asking for. It's super important. But doing it doing it on the side is really helpful if A, you want to make more money, and B, you want to eventually own your own gig one day. And how to do that, in my opinion, is you start really small and you do things that are not going to conflict with your primary firm or primary job.
If we may pause right quick.
Yeah.
That is a key component, one of several, is that, look, doing something on the side, building something up, amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But you're getting paid from your current employer.
That's correct.
You have got to take great care of them, value them, prioritize them. They are your, I think, if you're an employee, even if you don't have anything on the side, you need to look at it as that you are your own business and your employer is your number one top customer.
Actually, to a point that you made earlier, you were saying value adder. How can you flip from I'm an employee to someone? How can I add value to my boss? How can I add value to the firm or to the company hiring me?
Yep.
So the firm that I was with they leaned really heavily into multifamily and mixed use. Mixed use is the thing that's on the fourth side of the square where it's retail below, living above, super hot right now, and it's killer. It's great for the urban environments for sure. What I did was residential, and it was either a new build residential or a renovation on residential. Zero conflicts with the firm that I was with. In fact, they supported it. They mostly just said, as long as you get your work done, thumbs up. So in my opinion, if you're going to start your own firm or you're going to start your own business or whatever, do something that's not going to conflict with your primary priorities. And really dig into, and you can do that if you start small, trying to add value to your client.
Mm. Mm-hmm. I love that. A lesson that I learned from listening to you that I loved is that when you then announced you were going out fully on your own and you told your prior employer, they were so supportive.
Super.
They were so supportive of you doing your side thing because it met the parameters of it did not conflict with them.
Correct.
And then they loved and supported you as you went and did fully your own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're an employer, what a wonderful way. I mean, if you have employees who are entrepreneurial and want to get after that, how can you support that? Obviously, you need to have them where they're prioritizing your business since you're paying them. But how can you utilize that? Because here's one thing I know is that as you were doing these other non-conflicting projects on the side, it made you better at the projects for them.
Completely. And one thing that a lot of owners or employers preach is they want their employees to work like they own the business or work like they are owners. Because when you are an owner, you think differently. You know, all of a sudden when you walk into, for example, when you walk into the bathroom, you don't just go to the bathroom, you clean up the bathroom. You don't just go to the kitchen and make yourself a cup of coffee. You go ahead and tidy up a little bit because you own the place. Why not?
Right.
So to your point, when you do have others, you want your employees to have that entrepreneurial mindset. Because when they do, they're better employees. And frankly, I think you think of them differently. You want to take care of them. And, you know, they didn't mind that I worked on the side. They supported it. A few of them gave me jobs.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Like the owners of the previous firm, she hired me to help her renovate one of her houses or something like that up in Minnesota. And it was a great relationship that we had.
Oh, I love that. And that's allowing your employee to get additional expertise,
correct,
which is going to help you and their primary endeavors. It also, I guarantee you this, especially with knowledge work, all right, with work like architecture, when you're thinking, it's a lot of thinking and ideas, it will force them to get more efficient with what they're doing. I know it has done that for me. I know running the farm and working at a bank, I look at folks who are not running the farm and I'm like, if just doing the one thing, I mean, I don't know what they're doing.
What
they're not
doing
producing more. Anyway, we'll pick this right back up after this break on North Georgia Business Radio X. is better than one. Mm. Well, not always, but in this instance, we're about to talk about insurance. Welcome back to North Georgia Business Radio X. I am your host, Phil Benelli, here with my good friend, Greg Venable of Draw Studio. Greg, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, sir. Good to be here.
Before the break, which, by the way, if you're just joining us, welcome. Go ahead and go back. You can look up, you can go to Access WDUN, or you could go to, you could Google Northeast Georgia or North Georgia Business Radio X archives, and you can listen to all past episodes. Listen to the first three sections of this one, because there's some good nuggets of wisdom in there from Greg.
Well, from both of us.
Well, it's a team. Two is better than one, Greg. That's what we're talking about. So what we were just discussing, Greg has his own architectural design firm, Draw Studio. He started out working at other firms, and he started this on the side. Mm-hmm. And a few key things, because I encouraged that. If you're an employer, you might think, I don't want my employees doing something on the side. But his past employer was fine with it because Greg only did work that did not conflict with said employer's work. In fact, it complemented it. Mm-hmm. And they supported him in that. All right? He also was committed, as he should have been, to his former employer being his number one customer, if you will. Mm-hmm. He tried to run it like an owner. How can I do it the best I can? Because if someone is doing something on the side and they're stinking it up at their main job, they need to be let go. That doesn't work well. Mm-hmm. In my own experience.
And you burn bridges that way.
You burn bridges.
And you never know who or what is going to be damaged from that bridge being burned.
And it's just not satisfying. It's very unsatisfying.
Mm-hmm. It's icky.
To stink it up at something. Mm-hmm. Especially when they're paying you every 2 weeks.
Correct.
That is not fun. It feels not good.
Right.
I, in my own experience, last year, we grew the farm significantly. Went well. There were lots of problems, obviously, but we grew it. I was very happy with what we accomplished. I also had my best year in commercial banking I've ever had.
Really?
At the same time.
Fantastic.
And I really think that doing multiple things is helpful. Now, it could be, before I had the farm, look, I was like on different boards doing more, and I still am, but like doing more projects. As I look back, I've never just done my job and gone home. Mm-hmm. There are some things where you have to do that. If you're on a factory line, you know, you got to do the stuff on the line. But if you're doing knowledge work, I really think it's helpful to do multiple things which are not conflicting and don't overlap. Mm-hmm. It makes you better and it forces you to be efficient.
Efficient is a great word. It forces you to prioritize, because if you have a family, you think to yourself, okay, I have my primary job, I have my secondary job, I have my family, and I need to schedule these things.
Schedule
them out. So it forces you to be efficient and to make those priorities.
When I go to my desk at the bank, I have got to get stuff done.
It is all
business.
I can't
doodle around.
Nope.
I don't know what's up with UGA football recruiting.
Couldn't tell you.
I got pals. They know all about it. Mm-hmm. That's cool. That's the thing they're doing. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do that. I want to be productive. Mm-hmm. So I have to be. And if you have a business, again, think of ways, if you have employees who are doing something like that, how can you be conducive to that and support that in a way that has them help you more? Mm-hmm. And a few things I love you talked about, Greg. You know, you want your employees to run things like they own them. Mm-hmm. How can you incentivize them to do that? I'm a big proponent of, in whatever ways you can compensate, you could tie compensation to performance. Mm-hmm. If the company's profitable, we get paid more. 100%. If my division is more profitable, we get. How can you do that? How can you help them to be running a part of the business for you is more directly like running a business for them?
Correct. And when you think about, as a business owner, when you're interacting with the client, oftentimes anything that the client asks for, you can either add it to the package or you can tell them, hey, that's going to be an additional service, whatever. But generally speaking, you are being compensated for whatever the client is asking for, because they're asking you to do a particular job. When you have employees and you ask them to do things without tying compensation to that, I think that you run the risk of them getting burnt out and you might possibly damage that relationship. Mm-hmm. So just to your point, if you're asking your employees, hey, I want you to run this like a business, I want to run this like your business, or I want you to do this extra work or whatever, and here's how I'm going to compensate you, I think you're going to get better performance out of that person.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing is, if you are, let's say you're an employee, you don't have any intention of doing a side hustle. I'm not saying you have to go do that. But how can, if you have excess capacity, how can you look for opportunities to better serve your employer, to add more value, which should ultimately get more value back to you? Mm-hmm. How can you take on a different role or find ways to do more? You just, if you're underutilized, mm-hmm. you're not growing.
Mm-hmm.
So how can you better grow? How can you stretch yourself? And you don't want to overwhelm yourself. I'm not saying that if you're having to work till 10 o'clock at night, that is no bueno.
Nope.
That does not work. I want you to stretch yourself and improve your efficiencies such as that you're getting more done in less time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
I think it was John Maxwell that said that if you're not replacing yourself, then you're not growing or something to that effect.
Sure.
And I think to his point, he was, you know, there is a point where you can't exactly replace yourself. Well, then you just grow to owning something, or you grow to running a particular portion or a division or whatever.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, on that note, Greg, I feel better having got to spend time with you and Bill, North Georgia's premier audio engineers today. I feel better. And you mentioned growing a team and things like that, or growing your replacement. If where you're working is full of people who are making you worse, you should work somewhere else.
Agree.
You want to be around people mm-hmm. who are supportive and who are, you know, helping you grow and making you better.
Mm-hmm.
If where you're working at is just a lot of gossiping around the water cooler and toxic environment, you don't need that.
Get out of there. You'll have more energy if you leave there and go somewhere that does feed you and help you.
Mm, mm.
Or feed your...
feed working. Your growth,
yeah,
right?
Feed your growth.
They
yeah.
should be feeding you... and that you get money to go buy Hopewell Farms GA grass-fed mm-hmm. meats also. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a win.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me this, Greg. Draw Studios.
Mm-hmm.
What are the plans for the next couple of years? What are your goals? Where do you want to go?
Yeah. So running or building the architecture firm is a massive priority at the moment. I really want to take a year to figure out, and I may not figure this out in a year, but figure out exactly who my clients are,
mm-hmm.
who I really want to lean into, mm-hmm. who are the clients that I inevitably have a better relationship with,
mm-hmm.
and we can work together to develop what it is that they need. One big client that is a huge value add is someone that's going to give repeat work.
Mm-hmm.
So generally speaking, mm-hmm. when you have a residential client for renovations, the moment you finish their kitchen, you're done. What I really want are clients that I can have repeat work with, or clients that are going to help me with word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to take the next year to figure that out and figure out who I want to lean into, the client that I want to lean into, etc.
All right. Great point. You know, as you're growing a business, especially if you're going from a W-2
mm-hmm.
to growing a business,
mm-hmm.
you very well may have a mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
You might have kids to feed.
Correct.
Greg and I both have both those things. Mm-hmm. You got to get money in the door to pay the bills.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a tendency to just want to do whatever the heck jobs you can. And I would highly encourage anyone starting things to determine as close as you can. It will adjust over time. What is your key customer that you best want to serve
mm-hmm.
and best add the most value to, and go for that. Be as picky as you can. Be as niche as you can, because you're going to add more value like mm-hmm. that.
Well, and you one way to figure that out is to take a lot of jobs.
Yeah.
So you take as many as beginning. You can, and that's what I'm doing right now. So I'm taking all of them.
So shotgun approach 100%. At the beginning,
mm-hmm.
but with the clear objective to
good.
Say, yeah, mm-hmm. what was good, what was not good.
Totally.
What was the best, what was the worst. Mm-hmm.
And I have some ideas of who some tremendous clients are, but oftentimes they want an architect that's been in business for a little while. So mm-hmm. I will have to pay for it for a little while first, or I'll have to work and grind for a little while before I can earn their trust, so to speak.
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. Draw Studios.
Mm-hmm.
Greg Venable, entrepreneur, architectural workshop connoisseur and a good buddy. If you need some great architectural services, get with Greg. Greg with two G's, Draw Studios with two A's. Greg, thanks for joining us on North Georgia Business Radio X, my friend.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for having me.
Boom!
You've been listening to North Georgia Business Radio X with Phil Vanelli. What local business do you know that should be highlighted on our program? Let us know. Just search North Georgia Business Radio X on Facebook or contact Bo at businessradiox.com. See you next time, and remember to support our local businesses.